All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. On the line, Sandy Williams, as Mondays with Sandy Williams. Who do we have on the phone, Sam?
Bill from Oconomowoc's on the phone.
All right, Bill, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening. You say what? Bill, did we lose you? I don't know, Sam. I don't know. Bill, call back. So, Sandy, you were saying, so with this commitment that was made, the amount of money, there are people who now say on the other side, well, they didn't get the money because they didn't meet, you know, they didn't get the tax breaks. What are you talking about? They, you know, this was all predicated on whether or not they had X amount of employees and all those kinds of things. So, Earl, what are you talking about? That's the conversation shouldn't even be had. They didn't get the tax dollars.
Well, you know, but the risks that were taken were far more than the tax breaks they were going to get. And they did get a bunch of tax breaks. I don't know what the dollar amount is, but I have seen that the surrounding communities, the infrastructure that was committed to, not by the state of Wisconsin, but by counties and sewer districts, and all of the infrastructure that was built, is in the hundreds of millions of dollars. My recollection, this is a number coming from my brain, is that it's a number like a $700 million. So that's a huge exposure for communities of relatively small size. And their ability to pay off the municipal debt that they incurred to build all that was premised on the new taxes they would earn as the result of the Foxconn venture. So it's a huge problem for particularly the Racine area, the metropolitan area in which it was being located, because those governments have incurred massive obligations. And that's why they're doing things like chasing Oshkosh Truck and others to fill it up, because the poor taxpayers in those areas stand to pay very high taxes as the result of the default of Foxconn.
You know, Sandy, the other part of it is it's not always on the front burner. And, you know, I understand it's been a while, but the long-term ramifications of what you just stated in those small towns is their futures have been basically forfeited, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's the potential that municipalities would forfeit, essentially go bankrupt with respect to the obligations, as an alternative to, you know, taxing their small tax base at the level that they would have to be taxed in order to pay off the obligations. So it's a huge problem, and you know, the people who thought they were making such a big deal. You know, you can feel like a big swashbuckling deal maker when you're signing deals that involve $13 billion. But if you don't think through what the ramifications are for all of the players and how they'll be protected, you really haven't done a very good job. And, you know, the politicians around the country are very heated up about trying to bring new jobs to their locales, and they're competing with one another. And I think a lesson was learned from Foxconn, actually, at the expense of Wisconsin. And I think the extent to which states are now competing with one another to bring jobs has been slowed down. Some cold water has been poured on it because people watched the foolishness with which Wisconsin operated in that deal and the extent to which they've been burned within just mere years of signing the deal. And so the amount of money flowing towards companies in their movement has slowed down.
You know, Sandy, there's only one politician left still active, and that's Ron Johnson. Yeah, everybody else is gone. You know, Donald Trump is gone. Scott Walker is gone. Paul Ryan is gone. And what do you think of Ron Johnson's prospects, Sandy? We haven't talked about Ron Johnson, the great. We haven't spent much time at all talking about him. But if ever there was a guy who should not remain you know, in a seat. It's Ron Johnson. He's done everything possible to turn people away and for people to see him through a prism of being just a guy who's not mentally up to that position. And yet, you know, he's still trying to hang on to it. Well, what are your thoughts about Ron Johnson?
Well, I don't have any insights into how he'll actually do, because it's hard to predict the Wisconsin electorate, right? But right. I have some wishes. I have some hopes. And obviously, I wish and hope that Ron Johnson is not the U.S. Senator from Wisconsin after the election, because he's really, wow. There's almost nothing you could point at with respect to anything he's ever said or done that suggests that he's a senator from Wisconsin that we ought to be proud of as a state.
You know, Sandy, you think back and what was the position that he had? He was the chair of a really powerful committee when Donald Trump was in charge of things. I forgot the committee Ron Johnson was in charge of. But he has not shown me, you know, much in the way of a thinker, right? I mean, he's not.
Well, interestingly, one of his assignments under Trump was to be, or at least one of his assignments under the U.S. Senate when it was controlled by the Republicans, was that he was on a committee that involved itself a great deal with the Ukraine. And in fact, he was one of his responsibility within that committee was Ukraine. And how much help is he providing now to the American public and to the U.S. foreign policy with respect to Ukraine, steeped as he was supposedly in knowledge about this country? You know, the main thing he's done with respect to Ukraine is to defend Trump with respect to that ridiculous phone call that Trump had with Zelensky. And incidentally, those who think that Ukraine is a heroic country now should remember that what Trump was doing in that phone call was telling Ukraine that he was going to hold up $400 million of support to Ukraine if Ukraine did not initiate an investigation into the Biden family. So, wow.
You know, Sandy, when we come back, I want to talk about, you know, pretending that the pandemic is over, because we as a government now has kind of pulled the resources out and certainly there were a lot of resources that our government expended on a global scale and even on local or national scales. And we're pulling those resources out, Sandy. I want to ask you if you think it's premature. When we watch what's taking place in Europe and we think back to when, you know, the Delta came, we're watching that happen all over Europe. And we saw it come to us and we saw the impact of that. Are you at all worried, Sandy, about the fact that our government is now, we're putting all of this behind us? Is it too soon? We'll talk about it on the other side. 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams, you're inside the Sandy Williams Hours on the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.